today on Real Radio.
A lot of people are wondering and asking questions about their life and about their future. Well, my question to you tonight is, what does your future hold? As tonight we'll be looking at the future of the believer, and for that matter, the future of the nation of Israel. That's in the news tonight, again, as always. But the millennium is about God's people and Christ's rule.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called Thy Kingdom Come, continues a series now called The God of Our Salvation, the book of Isaiah. So glad you could join us today. You know, Isaiah prophesied from the years 739 BC to 681 BC to a nation that had turned a deaf ear to the Lord. So through Isaiah, God had to warn Israel of the coming judgment in the hope that his chosen people would return to him. The book of Isaiah also provides us with a full scope into the life of Jesus Christ, his virgin birth, his sacrificial death, and his glorious return. In Isaiah chapter 34, we saw how there was a shift in the structure of Isaiah as he takes us far into the future towards a very small segment of time called the tribulation period. It was clear by that time that mankind couldn't govern themselves. God's plan is to literally save man from himself. But the purpose of this terrible seven-year period was to turn the Jews back to their Messiah. Now in Isaiah chapter 35, we'll get a welcomed break from the gloom and doom and get just a glimpse of how God restores a tired and broken world. So today, Pastor Jack tells us that Isaiah is now getting into the time of the millennium, which is the thousand-year reign of Christ here on earth. When every true believer prays, Thy kingdom come, it really is our desire for the Lord to come. Our future in God's kingdom will be filled with joy as we experience our Savior in all of His glory. And now in his lesson called Thy Kingdom Come, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Grab your Bibles and turn to Isaiah chapter 35. And this is a great turning point for us in Isaiah chapter 35, because this now is, as it were, the cream in the middle of the donut. From the first chapter to the 34th chapter, there is predominantly the doom and the gloom. There are some millennial statements in those chapters, but it's a lot of the judgments and the woes that are issued upon not only Israel's enemies, but upon Judah to the south and Israel to the north regarding their disobedience to God. Now we come to the 35th chapter where it is the cream of God's announcement, which this is a chapter that introduces us, a long-awaited chapter, that introduces us to the Messiahship ministry of Jesus. You'll recognize this in a moment. And then next time we get together on Wednesday night, we'll look in one night, I'm not kidding, you're going to think I'm joking, but we're going to look at chapters 36 to 39 all in one night because it deals with Israel's local history. And then we get into chapter 40 all the way to chapter 66, and it's what we've been waiting for. Hang on to your hats. It will blow your mind. You're going to recognize so many glorious promises and encouragement and instruction from the great prophet. You'll think you're reading the New Testament from chapters 40 to 66. It's going to be a tremendous thing. But tonight we're in chapter 35, short chapter, but powerful. And the message tonight is entitled, Thy Kingdom Come. Thy Kingdom Come. And it's about the millennium in great detail. So I want to ask you this question tonight. What does your future hold, if you think about it? A lot of people are wondering and asking questions about their life and about their future. Well, my question to you tonight is, what does your future hold? As tonight we'll be looking at the future of the believer, and for that matter, the future of the nation of Israel. That's in the news tonight, again, as always. But the millennium is about God's people and Christ's rule. By way of introduction, in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 to 13, you'll recognize this warmly so in a moment. Matthew 6, verse 9, Jesus said, in this manner, therefore pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be, or holy be your name. Verse 10, Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. That is the work of Satan himself. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen, Jesus says. The structure model for prayer. It doesn't mean, by the way, you recite that prayer as you would like a rosary or some sort of handwritten prayer. You don't chant that prayer over and over again. I know that we've got that tradition going, but you know you're not really supposed to do that. Number one, the Bible says do not repeat your prayers. Don't make them repetitions. And the second thing is, this is a structure for your prayer. When you pray, you look at Matthew 6, 9 to 13, and you structure the skeleton, as it were, of your prayer on these shelves. So you meditate, for example, on the holiness of God, and you pray and you speak to him about his holiness. You enter into his presence with adoration, and then he gives the structure on how we should relate to him. But notice here, thy kingdom come. It's an amazing prayer, because when we're invited to pray, thy kingdom come, we are actually asking the Lord in that prayer, Lord, come. Please come. Did you know that it's in the spiritual DNA of every true believer to say, Lord, come? I mentioned on Sunday, and I'll mention it again tonight, that when you are with a saint of God, a believer that's dying, I remember my mom's last words before she breathed her last breath was quite funny, actually. My mom said, what's taking him so long? She breathed her last and died. She had had enough. It was time to go home. And the reality that every true believer has a desire to have the Lord come back. Of course, we right now, we'd love to see the Lord come back by ripping open the heavens and announcing his coming with a great trumpet. But listen, maybe tonight you're watching or you're listening and you're in a hospital bed or you're home at hospice and you've been sent home to die. Listen, the great thing is this. You're going to walk through a door. You're just going to pass through a door. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Listen, believer, did you know that's for you now? That when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, it's not on the other side of eternity. The shadow of death is what you and I are suffering now as we approach that last breath. That's the valley. The moment you breathe your last or that trumpet is blown, you take your next breath in heaven. Thy kingdom come. And the more you understand the nature of God, that's your great desire. Lord, come. And God has an amazing way of just giving us a sprinkling, as it were, a moment of enlightenment or an epiphany thought where it can be something through nature, a tremendously powerful witness of God. It could be a thought that you have. It could be something that just passes through your mind and heart, and it's like, yes, Lord. And you're awakened to the fact that God is drawing us and he's showing us examples and hints of what it's going to be like when his kingdom comes. But it's a tremendous thing. So let's look at it together. And I hope to have some graphics for you tonight, a lot of them, just to kind of get you going. Because as I was studying this today, I just thought, you know what? The words are so crystal clear and plain, but I found my mind not being able to imagine enough. And yet, I hope tonight that you leave this evening incredibly encouraged about what the millennium is going to be like. And I have some things I'm going to put before you tonight. Number one is this. We'll look at it together. The first step is found in verses 1 and 2. Regarding thy kingdom come, it's the fact that God, regarding his kingdom coming, restores a tired world. When Christ comes back in the second coming, it's not soon enough. It's at the end of the seven-year tribulation period. It's at the end of Armageddon. It's at the end of global wars and all the mayhem that's been taking place, and Christ comes at just the right time. He comes back, in fact, so timely that he says that if he didn't come back, there would be no flesh left on the earth. He comes back at the right time. Look at chapter 35, verse 1 and 2. It says, the wilderness and the wasteland shall be glad. And by the way, some of your Bibles have two words that ought not to be there in the original Hebrew, for them. You see the two words there? In my Bible, I've got a line drawn through those. Those were added by the English translators. It simply says, the wilderness and the wasteland shall be glad. Verse 2, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice, even with joy and singing. Do you hear what he's saying here? How in the world does the desert sing? How can a rose or a bush or a plant or nature praise God? I don't know, but it's going to. And when Jesus said, by the way, keep the verse up, when Jesus said to the Pharisees who said, tell your disciples to be quiet on that Hosanna Road, you know what I'm talking about on Palm Sunday? Jesus, tell your disciples to be quiet and stop praising you. And Jesus said, I tell you, if I were to tell them to be quiet, these stones would cry out. Was he exaggerating? Nope. Somehow the stones would have been crying out if the disciples would have been quiet. What would that have looked like? I don't have any idea. I wish, though, Jesus, just for effect, would have said, boys, just shh for 1 minute. Can you imagine what would have happened? Even with joy and singing, the glory of Lebanon shall be given to it. We'll find out what it is in a moment. The excellence of Carmel and Sharon or Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord. Notice in your Bible, Yah, that's his name. All capital letters, L-O-R-D. This is God our salvation, God our Savior. This is his name. This is the name of who your God is. The excellency of our God. The Lord has allowed you and I. He's talking about coming back, and when he does this, the deserts and everything's going to explode at his coming with life. And the Lord has allowed you and I, even in our 21st century, to see glimpses of his grandeur and greatness, and we need to practice this more. What am I talking about? Number one is this. Now, just think for a moment. I might ask for your participation, so be thinking. We've got this concept in our minds of what the Garden of Eden must have been like, and so we have to imagine that. And then we think about the millennium when he restores the earth, and we'll talk more about this in a moment. We have to imagine that. But there's enough, I believe, that God has given us because he is good to let us know of how things are going to be and how things once were. For the encouragement of the believer, I'm convinced of it. Number one, what do I mean? Have you ever been to Yosemite? In fact, if you're going to take a road trip after this winter's over in springtime, you ought to go down to Yosemite Valley. Just make it a field trip because the world's record amount of water that they have gotten in the snow levels, I heard they got 9 feet of snow in just over a day and a half. Hello? When that melts, you're going to see those falls, like Bridal Veil Falls, I think it is. There's going to be those other falls that are there that I forget the name of them. You're going to see them like you can see them on future, or I should say of past videos and stuff where the rivers are gushing into the valley like violently amazing. It looks like paradise. Think about it. You have to imagine that. If you've never been, you ought to go. But you don't have to go that far. Think about those amazing, beautiful moments where you go, for example, out in the desert. With record rainfall in the desert, there's going to be an explosion of wildlife, of floral life this coming spring. They've already predicted it. Mount Fraser Pass, Gorman, that part, not far from here. They're expecting the lupins and the California flower, which is the poppy, right? To be in record numbers. People are getting their cameras ready for the springtime. I'm dead serious. All because of the rain that we've experienced. The blessings of God. What am I saying? What about this? Have you ever been or seen pictures of the island of Kauai? Yes. What about places like the deep South Pacific? Paradise. Places of extreme beauty that seem to be, as the brochure would say, untouched by man. What are we thinking when we see stuff like that? We're thinking, wow, this is amazing. And I believe that God is saying, you ain't seen nothing yet. I mean, you watch. But those are glimpses of God's greatness. We need to remember that. As believers, we get so bogged down with freeway traffic jams and pollution and stuff. We need to back up and open up our eyes and realize, wait a minute, God is speaking through his natural creation. And there's still enough stuff that's beautiful for us to say, God, you're amazing. You are awesome Don't tell me evolution created Yellowstone or the Rocky Mountains. Well, you don't know your science. Oh, yes, I do. And I know the God of science. Because you know what? According to science and according to my Bible, my argument is the same God that made the Rocky Mountains is the same God that made your eyeball. Same God. At what point does evolution say, okay, we need eyes. We need to take our flipper and rub the front of our face. No, hey, that's what are you laughing at? That's the story. Well, we want eyes, so we rub the front of our face with no eyes until we get an eye. And then at one point you say, okay, now that's great. Now let's do it on this side now and rub this other side so I get two eyes. Think about that. You say, are you sure about this? Oh, how about this one? What about this? What about the sexual maturity of a human being if evolution's true? What do you mean? If evolution's true, how does evolution get the sexual maturity of a male and a female at the exact same time to produce the very first person, if evolution's true? You've got to get sexual maturity in birds. You've got to get it in animals. You've got to get it. How does evolution do that? How does evolution set a perfect timer where it happens that way? It's impossible. That right there would keep you up all night long. Think about that one. Our God is absolutely awesome. I want to show you some pictures, just four of them to get started. Just some things regarding our study. Hey, listen, this is a real photograph, by the way. You heard me read a moment ago about Carmel. In our verse 2, it's Carmel in the Sharon Valley. This is a real photograph. Listen, this is the mountains of Carmel. The vineyard of God is Carmel. And do you see the sunlight reflecting off the Mediterranean? When you go with us to Israel this coming April, you'll see this. You're looking west, the sun is setting. It's beautiful, right? According to the Bible, when Jesus comes back, he's going to make it more beautiful. Next slide. Kind of hard to see. Let me point it out. When the Bible here says in verse 2, the valley of Sharon, I believe it's too hard to see. I believe it's right here. It's along the coast. There are these three key valleys right here. This is the valley or area of the Philistines. The word Philistine is rooted in Phoenician language, and it means the invaders. If anybody is a Philistine, they are the invader. The question is, where'd they come from if they invaded this area? You should always ask that question. Where do they come from? If the word means invaders, where'd they come from? They came from Phoenicia. But that's another story. We're talking about the middle circle. The middle circle is the Israeli coastline, and the Valley of Sharon is from the Carmel slopes, and it goes down right to the coast. It's absolutely amazing. And for those of us who live in Southern California, when you see it, you think you're here. It's so much like here. Next slide. Does this not look like home to us? Huh? I mean, honestly, there's areas in Chino Hills State Park that looks just like this. This is Israel. This is the valley. This is another area of that land inside of that circle. Lupins, by the way, and bachelor's buttons, various plants. See right here? We have the California golden poppy. Israel has the Asian red poppy. But this is that valley. When Jesus comes back, it's beautiful now. He's going to make it even better. Next and final slide. Here you go, Mediterranean. And these are the roses of Sharon. Those are the actual plant. It's not like our kind of American type looking rose. It looks more like a rose and a poppy mated together. It's very, very unique. But they are so, listen, that is not enhanced. Again, if you've been to Israel or when you go in the spring, you will see them, and the red of them is kind of shocking. They're so red, it's almost like they have batteries and they're illuminated. They look fake. God loves them, and he stuck them in Israel. And they're right there along the coast. They're everywhere. It is awesome. It's wonderful. He's going to restore a tired world. When Jesus Christ comes back, thy kingdom come. Why is it important to us? He's going to restore a tired world. All of us who have tree-hugging friends, you need to introduce them to Jesus. If they are really environmentalists, they are going to want to be on Jesus' team. Because he's going to come back and fix everything. Well, what about the pipeline now that's going to be drilled up into Canada, and it's going to be, and what about the environment? Listen, whatever happens to the environment, from a shipwreck against the shore to a nuclear explosion to a volcanic eruption, Jesus is going to fix it. He's going to fix it. It's going to be amazing. The next thing we see in verses 3-4 is that thy kingdom come means he's going to heal broken humanity. He's not only going to restore nature, he's going to heal a broken humanity. Strengthen the weak hands. I don't know about you. How many of you are 30 years of age and younger? Raise your hand. 30 and under. Raise your hand. I'm trying to remember when I was 30. 30 is an interesting age because you still, you know, you're healthy enough and you're able to still jump off of buildings and stuff like that like you used to do when you were a kid. The sad thing is now that you're older, you still feel like that in your heart and your head. You know what I'm saying? Those of you who are over 30, raise your hands. Anybody over 50 in here, raise your hands. Anybody over 60 in here, raise your hands. That's interesting. Most people here are 40 to 50 years of age. Anybody 70 and over? Wow. That's awesome. 80? Come on. Anybody 90 in here? Yes, Catherine. Anybody else? There's Catherine. Anybody 90? Back in the back? Wow. That's amazing. This is encouraging. They're hanging around waiting for the trumpet blast. That's encouraging. But if they only knew what was in store for them, they'd want to go now and we'd go with them. Let's be honest. Pastor Jack, don't say that. Don't talk like that. No, no, no. If you knew what God had prepared for us, Paul said you shouldn't even talk about heaven. It's so amazing. There's no human words available to describe it. And when Christ comes, thy kingdom come, he brings as close as possible. He'll bring heaven on earth when he comes. And he's going to be the one that fixes a broken humanity. Humanity's busted. It's broken. Strengthen the weak hands. Those of you who are 30 and you're thinking, what weak hands? Just wait. You won't be disappointed. You'll have some.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called Thy Kingdom Come. Thanks for joining us today. And when you allow Jesus Christ to take over your life, you too can experience eternal kingdom living and his love that lasts forever. Thy Kingdom Come is part of Pastor Jack's series called The God of Our Salvation, The Book of Isaiah, a series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, who shared with us the coming of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, over 700 years before the day he was born. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Hey, let me turn you on to a couple of videos that you can find on Pastor Jack's Real Life with Jack Hibbs YouTube channel. These videos were filmed live during one of his recent tours to Israel. Now, one of them is called The Authority and Reliability of the Bible. It's a message that he spoke from the caves located near the Dead Sea. Now, you may be wondering why Pastor Jack did a message from there. Well, it was inside these caves where the Dead Sea Scrolls were found. A significant discovery when it comes to trusting God's Word, the Bible. Pastor Jack also taped one of his Facebook Happening Now broadcasts from Israel. His special guest is our friend Amir Safati, who many of you know is from Israel, but did you know that he's a major in the Israeli Defense Force? This is the first time that Pastor Jack did his Happening Now broadcast outside the U.S. He's speaking from the prophetic Valley of Armageddon, and according to the Book of Revelation, it's the location where armies will gather for a final battle during the end times. So head on over to Pastor Jack's YouTube channel. It's called Real Life with Jack Hibbs. And don't forget to click on the notifications icon for all of Pastor Jack's latest videos. And if you need to get a hold of us, call us, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.